This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
The Film Effect, and I wish that I knew some French, but I do not. Except for like bonsoir. How do you say? Sorry. Before I even get into this, I have a guest. Her name is Julie. Julie, hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome.
Happy to be back. And how funny we're talking about another French film, because the first time I came on, we talked about Amélie.
That's right. You love French films.
I do.
Is there a reason for that, or just...
It's beautiful.
It's a great language.
I love the language.
Do you know French at all? I never asked you that. Oh, un peu. How do you say good morning? What a good day.
It just went out my...
Bonjour.
Bonjour. It just totally went out. I felt like a deer in headlights. All of a sudden. I was like... Burr.
I know, that would happen
to
me.
Because you just said bonsoir, and that was all I can think of.
Isn't bonsoir bonsoir?
Good night.
I can't even do it right.
Good night, yeah.
Oh, what a nice one. Mm-hmm. That's all the French that I know, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I think I know the word ennui. Is that French? Mm.
And yes.
Oh, oui, oui. All right. Well, we're getting a little silly. So this was kind of in the moment, but you mm-hmm. had mentioned, actually a while ago, mm-hmm. you had mentioned Portrait of a Lady on Fire, mm-hmm. which first of all, what an awesome title.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm curious. But you know what's weird is you did say it and I'd heard of it and I was like, I need to see this movie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch it. I had some resistance to watching it. I don't know why.
Huh.
Which is weird because maybe I was just in a mode. I think I went through just a mode of like horror films, and when I get like on a kick, it's hard for me to get out of that for a while.
Yeah.
And I know some of my listeners, guys, I know it's Christmas, and I didn't even talk about Christmas movies, but we already did that last year, so if you want to hear it, look for the top Christmas movies with me and Rob Weiders from last year. It's still up there somewhere. And I was thinking about it, but honestly, I just need to float to my own, what is that, boat? What are people saying?
Are you going to float your own boat?
I'm going to float my own boat. I'm going to...
Are you going to beat
your own? My own goddamn drum, and I'm just going to do whatever I want. But actually, it was, you brought it up again, and I was just on your lovely podcast, so we've been talking for a while, but this is an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why don't you tell me a little bit about how this kind of came up for you, this movie? Like, how did you even hear about it?
My younger sister told me I needed to see it. I love stunningly beautiful movies.
Okay, yes.
And she was like, this is one of the most beautiful movies. You have to watch it. And I did, and I didn't know what I was getting into. And what struck me from watching this film was how many of the shots actually looked like paintings.
It's a beautiful movie.
And it just was so visually satisfying. It's so hard to say what's more than beautiful. I mean, it's just...
You just love it.
Mm.
And it's not like Amélie at all, but mm-mm. I do think you're right. There's like a similar, like in terms of the visual beauty.
The saturation of the color.
It is beautiful. It is. They did a really amazing job of like making you feel like everyone's in a painting, you know, all the mm-hmm. shots, the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. All right. Well, for anybody who just joined us, or even if you joined us already, I'm going to give you guys just the basic info on this movie so you know what it is and how to find it. Portrait of a Lady on Fire was made in 2019. The original title, I cannot say. Portrait de la Jeunesse, like whatever. So that was my take. This movie is about 2 hours. It is a drama / romance directed by Celine. Where are you? I should have you pull this up.
I probably would struggle with it too.
S-C-I-A-M-M-A. Shama? Skiama? Is it a hard C or is it a silent C?
I think it might be silent.
I always want to go to the Italian pronunciation because I know a little Italian, so it would be like...
Say it in Italian then.
Like Skiama, maybe? Actually, that's... I think I'm doing that wrong as well. Okay, listen. I'm not going to attempt to say all these names because they're really hard to say. So if you're looking for information, go to IMDb and just look up Portrait of a Lady on Fire. So this movie, I will say, was nominated for a Golden Globe. It is one of the top rated movies on IMDb. And it is just a really beautiful film. I will say one thing I love about foreign films, which is something I should probably watch more foreign films, especially maybe currently this could be a new thing for me to start watching more foreign films, is that you don't have that kind of like, you know, with movies that we see in America, we're American, you know the actors, you know the top billing people. So when you hear Meryl Streep, or like, I know who that is. Mm-hmm. So if I watch the movie, I have an idea of who Meryl Streep is. Mm-hmm. I don't know these people at all. You know, when you watch a foreign film, it's like a blank slate. Mm-hmm. So I can't like attach some idea of that person to the role they're playing. They just are the people that they're playing. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know who they are. So, and I've never seen them before. Unless I maybe have been following French film and then I might know. But I don't. So it's kind of nice. It's kind of like a, it's just like an awesome way to take it in without any preconceived ideas of who these people are and the roles they've played in the past. So should I explain what this is? I'll read the short one sentence description they've got here. On an isolated island in Brittany at the end of the 18th century, a female painter is obliged to paint a wedding portrait of a young woman. So that is kind of the setup. So I'll do my translation. This woman is hired to paint a portrait of this woman who is to be married to a man, right? Mm-hmm. So these are obviously people of wealth. Mm-hmm. And this is like a traditional thing that they do, which is the woman is painted and the portrait is made before they marry the person they're to be married. And then that picture lives on the wall of the house of the people. And it's like some kind of, it seems, I will say, and I'm talking completely and not letting you talk yet, but that whole setup would seem a little bit like ridiculous to me, or just like, really, did people do that? But obviously it's not. And what I liked about it was how the mother was explaining this to her about the portrait. And as they have the conversation, they are in the room with the painting of her when she was to be married to someone. Mm-hmm. And now she's the mother and she's had this whole existence, and how also terrible that was for her in her sharing of this story. Yet she's putting her own daughter through the same tradition. Mm-hmm. What did you think of this whole setup of the story?
Well, and then it's also like, so the woman who is to be married, right?
Right.
She was originally in a convent, and it was her older sister who was going to be married.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah.
And the older sister threw herself off a cliff because she did not want to be married.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
That's a big part of the story. So it was originally the sister to be married. She killed herself. And then this woman gets pulled out of a convent where she's quite happy.
I know. And I
had
actually
had no intent
was,
on living.
Right. So let me, I'll try to give the listeners, if you are following this at all, I'll try to give names of these characters to my best of the ability so that I, at least we know what we're saying. So the painter is Marianne, mm-hmm. is her name. And the, bride to be, I'll mm-hmm. call her, is Heloise, mm-hmm. and I guess her sister we don't really see.
No.
Looks like Sophie is the kind of house servant or whatever, maid. Mm-hmm. What do you call her position, whatever she was doing. And Valeria Golino is the mother. Oh my God, I've seen her in so many things.
Oh, wow.
She's awesome. Okay, sorry. Amazing.
No, but what else has she done that she's been amazing?
She was in Rain Man.
Really?
Yes. I just didn't realize that was her because she's older now. But she's actually from Italy and she grew up in Naples. So that makes sense. Anyway, shout out. Valeria, you're awesome. She is the mother. Anyway, there's a lot of other... there are not many people in this movie.
No, those are the characters that we need in order to talk about it.
Okay. All right. So you were saying Heloise's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I was going to ask too is like the convent. So I'm assuming that's where people went. Like, why would she be in a convent? Because also you hear the painter, Marianne, say that she spent time in a convent,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did all the girls go to convents?
I don't know.
What is happening?
If you weren't due to be married, did you have to go to a convent?
I thought that was really strange, didn't you? And they don't explain it at
they
all.
They don't explain it at all. And I didn't look it up. I didn't research.
I'm like, these are some tough times, man. I'm like, you're either marrying somebody you've never seen or you're hanging out in a convent.
But it was interesting what Heloise said about she loved being, it was enjoyable to her because she got to hear music there. They had a full library, and she said she got to experience equality.
That is so interesting.
Because there was a different dynamic with the men feeling superior and like the women being.
Right.
And she didn't have to deal with that in the convent.
Yeah, there definitely were conversations about women not having rights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously. And then, of course, I do see this theme a lot in movies around these time period, these period pieces, where women who are like artists or they're kind of somehow allowed to kind of be different than some of the other women of the time. And I don't know why that is. Why is that? I feel like I've seen that before in movies. Where somebody who's like a creator, an artist or something gets to have like this pass where they're like, maybe because they're not wealthy and they're part of a lower sect of society, lower class of society, that there aren't so many expectations. So I guess what I'm saying is I had some questions. But before I continue, I would like to say, so aside from your sister mentioning it, was there anything that resonated with you in the movie, or there was beyond just watching it and just being like, oh, this is a cool movie?
It was more the second time around because I watched it again when we talked about doing the podcast.
Oh,
and
cool.
I picked up on things that I missed completely the first time.
Like, what did you pick up on?
Like, okay, so so more of the story. Eloise does not... So another painter had been brought in to do the portrait, right?
Yes.
And Eloise refused to sit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also being kept in her room because her mother was afraid that if she let her out of her room, she would also throw herself off the cliff.
Crazy.
And so in those 2 points, so then Marianne is brought in and she is told that she has been brought here to paint, but also paint in secret. And Eloise has been told that Marianne's being brought in to be a walking companion, right?
So sneaky.
So Marianne's tasked with walking with Eloise and memorizing her face and then going back and drawing what she can from memory. And there was an interesting conversation that Eloise had with Valerie, the mother, or no, Marianne had with the mother. And she introduces the idea of just like, yes, Eloise is sad. She's angry, but she's not sad. Like you can trust her to walk by herself outside.
Hmm.
And that gives Marianne space to finish the painting. But like in telling Eloise that she'll be able to walk by herself and she'll have freedom. And Eloise says, oh, so I'll have freedom because I'm alone. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, tell me.
Because I know that that's something that I've experienced a lot. Like, I can't fully be myself in the presence of someone else.
Wow.
And I feel more free when I'm by myself.
I can relate to that a lot also. That's weird that you brought that up. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's what's part of fun about having this conversation.
It is an interesting idea and... Wow. Yeah. I'm just like taking it in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what's cool about this movie. Actually, I feel like I'm going to need to rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
There's all this subtle stuff that goes
so
on.
Subtle.
It seems like a really simple premise,
mm-hmm.
which is maybe why I didn't like jump to watch it, mm-hmm. but it's much deeper than like what you're saying. Like I picked up on that too. And there's a lot of really interesting little things they take time on. Even just the opening with her on this boat and then her canvas, like her art stuff gets like swept out to sea and she has to go get it. And like the way that she goes after it is interesting that they open on that. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking like, this is her, like, it's so important because there's so much weight on it for her to like have this job. And that's what I took from it, was like how important it was for her to have that and how the men weren't going to help her at all. Mm-mm. They could give two shits about that. They were like, all right, crazy.
There it goes. Yeah.
But there wasn't a noticeable visual around class difference to me as much. You know, sometimes in movies like this, you'll see like the person that's the artist comes in and they obviously are much poorer looking than the wealth of the people they're painting for or something. But they didn't really look... There wasn't like a huge... Did you notice that?
Like, I did notice that.
It wasn't like it was so... what's the word? Stark?
Stark.
Oh my God. Please help me.
We'll figure this out together. We'll fumble our way
like
through this.
I'm becoming an old person. I can't remember what the words are. I'm like, what's that word? Yeah, it didn't seem like it was that noticeable, which maybe that was important because there were so many parts of the story where I felt like they were equals in a sense, mm-hmm. even though it was kind of clear that they weren't, right?
I honestly didn't think about it at all.
I was wondering that the whole time, mm-hmm. the way that she was being, it's funny how I would think that and you didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
You just were paying attention to her. I mean, obviously her struggle with her situation and like her feelings of,
honestly, Tiff, I wasn't even going that deep. I mean, that movie is like pure wow. eye candy for me.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
just so yeah. beautiful. And I loved how it was shot. And there were such long shots and there were such beautiful shots. And that's one of my main complaints with how modern things are shot these days. They're clipped so short that you can't drink anything in. You can't drink in all the beauty. Like you have a beautiful shot and then it's like gone before you can.
So fast. Yeah, and I like a slowed down movie too. I've actually been watching some classic films a little bit lately just because they're slow. Like they just didn't move that quickly. Mm-hmm. Like old, you know, black and white movies are just kind of, they're not rushing you through the story.
Mm-mm.
And you're right. This movie is definitely just like a beautiful like visual to just sit with and like mm-hmm. be in the moments with these people. So maybe I can think, I mean, let's talk about some deep stuff though. Why don't we go there? Obviously there's some themes of, I guess, women's roles and society and kind of trying to fit into roles that you don't feel like you fit into maybe, or I just, so many things pop up. The idea of choices, the idea of, like you said, freedom. Also themes of like, who are you and your identity and like, what do you even know about yourself? Some of the most sad stuff in the story for me is how much this girl didn't know or have any yet experiences with like so many things that the other, you know, the painter did, like music or mm-hmm. Books or mm-hmm. like just things that it's almost like she was very childlike because mm-hmm. she didn't have any exposure to much, mm-mm. sounds like. And that was like a little bit sad, but I guess also made her very like intriguing. I think the reason it scared me a little is to think of like what it must really feel like to be a young woman who hasn't really had much exposure to much in the world yet, even though she's of age enough to go be married now and have this whole other life that she is not choosing. And to feel like how much she might miss out on, or that is a scary thought, to think that you have no control over what's about to happen to you for the rest of your life. I mean, that is crazy. No wonder that other girl jumped off the bridge or the cliff.
Like property comes to mind.
Yes. Like women were property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also this, you guys know I always work out this stuff as I'm talking. I think what it brought up for me, that obviously this movie centers around portraits, a portrait of a person, having your portrait and having someone see you, really see you. Mm-hmm. So there's the idea of the portrait that is made that is just to be made of you, but not really a truthful portrait of who you are, right? Which is what I think is under, like, the layer underneath the story is for her to really be seen. And who, you know, what other actual literal thing is so, like, of that nature of being seen to sit in front of a person and have someone literally stare at you for hours and days on end to paint you? Because that's what it requires for her to do it correctly, which she can't do to start. So, which makes sense why she doesn't want to, like, she's playing this game of, like, I don't want to have my portrait. I don't want to have my painting. No, I'm going to, like, kind of go against this the whole time as long as I possibly can. Because the second that thing is done and it's up on the wall, mm-hmm. I'm done.
She's getting shipped off to Milan to be married to a strange man.
It's over. So she is kind of fucking around with this whole setup just to kind of give herself some time around it. But at the same time, she's so desperate to be seen. Mm. To, like, really be seen. Mm. And I really resonate with that a lot. That's kind of, like, yearning for someone to see the real you. Mm. In a very kind of, like, beautiful way. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's, to me, like, what a lot of this movie was about. And I think I relate to it, too, because of photography and, like, me wanting to capture people as their true essence and not just take a picture of them, but to, like, have their picture taken. It's a different thing. It's, like, I don't know. It's the same struggle, which is to, like, either orchestrate a portrait or to let that person, like, be revealed in the portrait. So that's where I go. But I know.
And that's what I wanted to do. That, like, yeah. That's what I want to hear from you. Cause, like, I'm so fascinated by yeah. your work and I'm such a big fan of your work. And cause you do have that gift to bring out the essence of people.
I hope so. I mean, I
you're my favorite person to shoot me. So
yay.
I don't like to be shot, but I trust right. you.
Yes. Awesome. So can you resonate with that? Like, and I will mention too, I know, Julie, you've had your portrait paint, you've been painted mm-hmm. from a picture mm-hmm. you said, but
I did sit and, like, he did take pictures of me and where right. to take and where to
and
paint
then you
the
were
portrait.
And you were able to see this picture uh-huh. that someone painted of you uh-huh. Do you want to share about that at all?
Yeah, or? I'd be happy to. Okay. So this was when I was living in New York, and the guy that I was dating at the time is really good friends with Stephen Bennett, who is his the he calls himself the portrait painter, and he paints these really vivid pictures. So you can imagine skin tones would be pinks and blues and, like, rainbow colors and just really super vibrant. And so, yeah, I went to a studio in Brooklyn, and he took a bunch of, and we were friends too. We'd hung out, and I was friends with his girlfriend, and, like, he took a bunch of shots of me. And also the other thing about Steven is his paintings are huge. Like
right, okay.
8 feet by 10 feet. I think the one of me is 3 feet by 4 feet.
It's so cool.
It's big. And I was in my early 30s at the time when it was painted, and I was excited about it. And it was cool too, because my boyfriend did a whole unveiling party for me. So when it was finished,
wow, that's cool.
He rented out the back of a restaurant, invited all of our friends over, and, like, we had a party, and it was there. And I was nervous about, because I'm not, you know, like, I'm not one of those people who thinks that I'm beautiful, like, wildly beautiful or anything like that. So to have a portrait done, there's kind of, like, this fear of, is it going to look like me?
Yes.
Is it going to look pretty? Is it going to be ugly? Is it, are they going to see me? I'm like, am I going to like it? I, like, there, it was kind of, I was kind of nervous to see it. And I was actually really pleasantly surprised when I did see it, because there's something about the eyes. There was, like, there's an aliveness to the eyes that he captured. And it's interesting, because it's also, it was like, I had my perspective of it. And then also my boyfriend at the time had a perspective of it, and it was very different. Like, for me, and, like, even the artist too, he was like, we chose this picture and we chose these colors because we saw the light in you, and we saw that you were emerging out of darkness, which is true for exactly
wow,
where
that's
I was
pretty cool.
at that point in my time. Cause I had just had a really deep spiritual awakening, which we talked about in my
check out The Gifted
podcast, The Gifted, the most recent one, season 2, episode 9. And so it was after that, and that's true. That was me. Like, the light got turned on from within, and I was coming out of the darkness. And then my ex, he, like, his, like, to him, that look on my face was, I got you, like, but in a malicious way. And it was so interesting, too, because when we broke up, when it came to, and this was given to me as a gift for my birthday, and but when it came, when he and I broke up and it came to, like, pulling the painting down off the wall, and he just said, I'm not ready to part with this yet. And because he had spent a lot of money on this portrait, I was like, okay, so... I thought I, like, made this deal, like, this silly deal with him, like, okay, well, when you have another girlfriend, like, she's not going to want to live with a portrait of, you know, your ex on the wall. So when you hook up with somebody else, can I have it back then? And he said yes, but that didn't happen.
Right. Well, I mean, it's interesting even that he wanted to keep it. It's like he wanted to hold on to you,
mm-hmm.
literally, and against your wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I'm going to keep you. Sorry.
And then, like,
nope. Which, I mean, listen, we're kind of, it's, you know, it's what happened.
It is what happened.
And I know more of the story a little bit, but, like, you know, it is interesting, this idea of you in a painting. And even in this movie, I'll try to bring it back to the movie for just for a second. I don't want to interrupt your end of your story. But this whole thing of, like, your essence being held in a thing like a painting, and like what it meant, because that's why the movie's interesting, right? Like, it's a simple story, really, but this whole thing had such meaning around it on all these different levels. The painting isn't just the painting on the wall. It's representative in the story of her future, of her lack of freedom, of her, like, inability to be seen for an individual person, that she's more than just the next wife on the wall,
mm-hmm.
the matriarch of the next family that's about to happen here. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, it has, there's so much symbolism in this one thing, mm-hmm. of a picture of her. And that's why they play around. And also there's the love story between the two of them that occurs because of how they get to, like, know each other and see each other. And then they feel connected and they have this romantic relationship, mm-hmm. which is awesome, by the way. Awesome. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. There's a lot of really beautiful little moments. One of my favorite scenes is when she finally agrees to let her to, like, sit for the portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend time and she's, like, pointing out, when you're nervous, you do this thing.
I love that scene.
And you do that and you do this. And then she is also saying, you know, and then Marianne is coming back and saying that you do this, or Eloise is saying you do this and you do that, you know, you bite your lip and you know, you raise your eyebrows when you're anxious. It was just like, it's just another example of notice, like, really paying attention to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really watching each other. And what I love about the whole thing is that that wouldn't have happened if Eloise wasn't playing this, like, kind of difficult game. Like, for Marianne, the artist, she's probably pretty used to this, like, very, like, familiar, okay, you pose a person, you sit them,
you
this is
how
they look, their hands are like this, you paint the picture, it's over. She finally gets to paint this picture. It takes her all of this time to, like, sit with her and watch her and secretly draw her and all these, like, very sneaky things. Finally gets a painting together, and the mother's like, great, it's over. She's like, well, I want to show it to her first, Eloise. Eloise is not happy with the picture.
No.
And the pivotal point of the story, to me, is in that moment where she looks at it and realizes this is not a painting of her. She just smudges the face right out. Awesome. Right?
Yes.
What a fucking awesome scene. I'm like, whew, she just does that, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's when it's really on. But I guess what I'm kind of jumping all over the place.
It's okay. I love that you're going
right?
on all
I
that.
Know. I love it. This is what I do. But I do think that we all can relate to this idea of wanting so badly to be seen and recognized. And this is a very symbolic thing to be painted and have somebody really see you, right? Interesting enough, from your story, just your story about being painted, which is not even related to this at all, is that you said that this artist, when you saw the painting, you felt that he really captured you.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
So he kind of didn't even
he saw me
sit with you, but no. He was like, I got, he saw you.
Yes.
And this boyfriend did not see you the way that he saw you, the way he wanted to see you. Mm-hmm. Even though the painting is no different.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Bring in the weirdo music right now. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But that's so cool, I think.
And here's another interesting thing, too, because the first portrait that she did, that she did from memory, right?
Yes.
She, and Eloise didn't like the portrait. She's like, what, am I dead to you? Like, because, like, the portrait looked flat to her. It didn't look alive. There's no vibrancy. There's nothing. And Marianne defends her work. She's like, well, there are rules. There are conventions. There are ways. There are things. There are rules that you have to follow in order to do portraits, right? But she also agreed that it had. She didn't capture the essence. She didn't capture the aliveness. She didn't capture the person who that was. And that's another cool thing about Steven. Like, he doesn't have rules. Like, he creates his own. Like,
right.
My hair is multicolored. Like, it is a rainbow. My skin is. All the different shades are, like I said, different.
So cool.
Yeah, I can send you actually a, you can use it
as
a thumbnail.
I'll do that.
Want.
I'll post a photo with this post so you guys can see what we're talking about.
But there, like that, I think that is really important too, like the restraints that people believe in when it comes to doing their art, right?
Totally.
Like, isn't art one place where we get to be completely free and not have rules and not have restrictions and be totally creative?
I think it
creative?
Is now, but I think that movie is, this movie is saying that too, which is women's roles were, there's even that conversation where they're not allowed to paint naked men.
Mm-hmm.
And when she would do it secretly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think back then there were a lot of rules around some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why the story becomes this kind of beautiful, you know, connection of them both seeing each other for more than what they appear.
And I'm also curious about your relationship with doing photography, because I'm sure, because you have a fine arts degree. You've been classically trained, right? Or you've been trained.
I mean, I've done.
Like, so you got rules too of like how to set
there's,
up a shot.
There are always rules that you either just pick up or you decide. I think with art, at least for me, there were like, you learn concepts. I don't think I had as many like rules thrust upon me, but even like studying film, there's definitely like, I took a script writing class and it was like, this is the format, you know, until someone breaks it. It's always like, this is the format. And I think I wasn't, I didn't study enough of like classical painting and drawing. Like, I didn't go that route necessarily with photography, didn't follow that specific path. I know people that study art in those disciplines, do have to learn, you kind of have to learn all the rules before you can break them is the idea. But maybe back then there was no breaking them yet. It was just very, this was what it was, you know, this is a painting of a person. This is what they look like. And this is what is standard. Maybe there wasn't much room to kind of bust that out yet. It hadn't happened yet. But it's funny you mentioned me. I've kind of, just to share on a personal note, I've been trying to come to some more clarity on what I'm doing with photography, or like why I even choose the things I choose. And with the help of, you know, just talking it out with other people, I'm kind of, it's, this movie fits right the fuck in. It's so weird. What is going on today? Just that my fascination with photographing, when I choose to photograph things, I have this theme of wanting to like photograph the unseen people of the world. That's kind of my, it's kind of always been my interest, is to kind of bring exposure to people that you wouldn't pay attention to necessarily. I'm always looking at that. I think that's why I like street photography so much, because when we're out on the streets, we're kind of all the unseen people. And to me, it's like, I'm, you know, I'm like showing everybody, like, look at this guy eating his french fries. Look at him. He's a person. And it's probably because I feel that way a lot in my life. And I have felt very much unseen by many people in my life, you know, on different levels. And I still struggle with that. I think I struggle with this concept of wanting badly people to really know me or see me and accept me. I think I care less about being accepted now. I just still feel that thing of like wanting to be seen. But then at the same token, being terrified when people do see me. That's the other part that's weird. Do you think that, and that's making me think about the story. So there is that attraction between the two of them. And obviously Eloise is, you know, she's drawn to be more open with Marianne through their time together, mm-hmm. but also she becomes quite scared of it at the same token mm-hmm. of being seen. It's like, she's so, it's funny how we're so comfortable in our patterns. Mm. The second it shifts, even though we want it so badly, we don't even know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that plays out a little bit in the story too. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? Boom. Passing the potato.
And they have such a short period of time, right? They only have these 5 days when their mother goes off the island.
I know.
And then once the portrait's done, she goes to Milan. So it's like falling in love with someone, having everything that comes with new love and like miscommunications that can happen. And,
right.
And then, oh God, so intense.
It's
and
intense.
And then not being able to be together because they're both women.
All of it. I mean, that's the tragic love story, though, isn't it? It's like that kind of... And I also love stories like that, too. I just talked about this on another episode. The stories of people that come into each other's paths that are just... They don't expect anything, and then they're so affected.
Mm-hmm.
So affected by this connection mm-hmm. that happens. But then it goes away. Mm-hmm. Circumstantially, it just they have to be pushed apart, and then the rest of their lives, though, they have been shifted mm-hmm. through that connection.
Yes,
it's like it lingers for eternity for them. That kind of thing. And don't we all love that kind of story, right? It's like that unrequited love kind of, is that the word, sandbagging mm-hmm. again kind of story. And yeah, I love that too, because I think that happens to all of us in small ways.
But maybe,
Maybe not in love romantic stories, but just being affected by people that come into our path and mm-hmm. it just gets left there, mm-hmm. but you still feel the effects of it.
Mm-hmm. The ripples continue.
For the long haul.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as a result, Eloise is seen mm-hmm. probably in a way that she, I'm guessing, is not seen by her husband.
I know. We never know what happens after.
No, we don't.
God damn it. Maybe there's a whole story out there for her that we don't know about.
There could be.
But they do open on that she's, you know, Marianne's teaching that class
mm-hmm.
and the painting is there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the students, naughty, brought it out from the back. What was that about too? Who put that painting there? She's very upset, you know?
I know.
I'm like, what did she do? Holy shit. And then there's this painting, and it's actually an amazing painting.
Oh my gosh, I just thought of another thing. Remember, okay, so the old painting that the first painter did that doesn't have a face, and Marianne is looking at it, and she holds the candle too close, and she just happens to hold it right next to the breast where the heart is.
That's right.
And
it burns.
Bursts into flame.
I didn't catch
that the first time around either. I was like, oh my gosh.
I need to rewatch this movie.
Burning love.
Right.
Happens between them.
It is. And it's like, I love the literal translation of the symbolism, which is that she literally has no face yet.
Mm-hmm.
She is completely invisible.
Yes.
Nobody can see her.
No.
No.
And the first time we see her, we only see the back of her hood.
It's so cool. I thought that was so cool.
Wasn't that a great shot?
It's such a great, yeah, that like that kind of like mysterious... Mm-hmm. waiting for her to be revealed, you mm-hmm. know, with this already kind of looming story of like, oh, she won't, you know, she's going to be a hard one to catch.
Mm-hmm.
This challenge of mm-hmm. like, we need you to paint her.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a freaking job that was. Not to mention the beautiful shots of just her drawing her, and like the art in the film is really cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like really awesome. Wow. It's getting pretty deep again. Sorry, everyone.
Isn't that what they sign up for? Don't you usually get deep on these?
I do. Sometimes lately I've been getting a little more silly than deep, I think. There are other weird things I'll bring up, like And I always wonder, why are these scenes in the story? Maybe to reinforce their status of women in the time period. Like the whole thing that goes down with the house person.
Sophie. Where,
yeah, where she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then there's all of these things they do to try and help her get rid of this baby. It's like crazy. First of all, I didn't understand what she was hanging from. No. All you saw was her feet. And I was like, did she just hang herself? What the fuck is going on here? Like, there's no conversation about it even.
No.
It's like very subtle. And then she's running back and forth. Like,
I know,
exercise.
You think about superstition, old wives' tales of like how to get rid of a baby, the herbs that you need to take, and like all the different.
Yeah, so she drinks some weird potion. Then she's running outside. Then she's hanging up from the rafters.
As long as she can, then she falls.
Like, it's so bizarre. And then she has to go to like the really weird witch lady who looks totally normal, but it's like someone's room and there's babies on the bed. And then she's like basically having that whole experience where they get rid of the baby and the kids are just like laying on the bed next to her. The baby's like rolling over onto her and holding her hand. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, they spent a lot of time on this story. So what is this about in the whole thing?
I don't know if I can help you out with that.
I wish I could figure it out. Can you guys please write in and tell me what that was about? Seriously, I don't understand it. Like, maybe to reinforce their, I still can't figure it out. I'm trying to work it out and I can't.
And that's still going on. That's still a sticking point, right? About abortion. You know,
I don't get it at all. Yeah, I was like, is
this still a hot topic?
People believe that. It's not like these two women are going to get pregnant here. So, like, what's the foreshadowing or what is the point of this in the story?
It hasn't been resolved yet.
I don't know. It's weird. It's a very weird thing that they spend some time on.
That's what I took away from it, that like abortion still hasn't been handled.
Okay.
As a topic.
Maybe, yeah.
Here yet.
Yeah. I think it's maybe also just to emphasize their plight. You know, they're kind of like in where they are as women in society, which is, this is another thing they have to deal with if that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Not many good options here.
No.
I mean, gosh. And I also think it's, you know, I am working it out, people. I also think it's showing you how she really can't not go marry this guy. Right? In the end. Like, she doesn't really have a choice around it.
Mm-mm.
There really isn't. Like, even, you know, you kind of, I think when we watch movies like these period pieces, we're kind of like hoping, like, well, maybe they could, like, I don't know, get in a carriage and just fuck it. And they can, you know, like they're going to run off together and like go be artists. You know, I could come up with the whole thing in my head if I wanted to. And
maybe you're going to do the sequel.
But like, maybe that's not really what happens. You know, like people don't do that then. They can't do that. There's no like, there's nowhere for them to go. Right. Or is it, or maybe you can remind me, because I didn't really, I mean, I'll admit I didn't get to watch the last bit of this movie because I was rushing to watch this today and I'm gonna rewatch it, but Julie filled me in on the end. Do you remember at that end part if there's any like, how do they play out that struggle of her like wanting for them to like want to be with each other?
No, I don't remember.
They
that
don't from really go
I
there
didn't get yeah I didn't get well see here's the thing, I was watching it this morning and then I got your text that you might not be able to watch it today, so I was like, well,
psh, you're like, you all know, right,
I'll
well,
watch it, like I've got other stuff to do,
so we kind of just threw ourselves into this.
Yeah,
well, listen, obviously they don't end up together.
No, they don't.
I do, you know that. Yes. But they'll always have Paris. I'm just kidding.
They'll always have Brittany.
That painting lives on. Yeah. So the painting that we see in the beginning is obviously her painting that she made maybe after this romance happens.
Oh, with her on fire. Yes, yes. I think so.
It's like a, you know, her like expression of what that was for her, which is an interesting picture in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will she like always be on fire a bit? Probably.
Gosh, the word sacrifice just came to mind.
Yeah. Huge. Mm-hmm. Huge. And you see that in the mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the other theme that's like so tragic. It's just this idea that this women just went along, you know, people, forget women, just going along with what is and not even like,
what
and
is
knowing
expected.
How, and knowing how horrible, like the fact that the, I mean, let's just listen, Mamma Mia, this is crazy what you did to your children. Like, here you are. You're like, yes, trust me. I know. She kind of says that to her. Like, I've done this myself. Like, you don't have to tell me how hard this is. I understand my daughter, you know? The other one just threw herself off the cliff. So what is happening here? Like, I will tell you, if one of my kids threw themselves off a cliff, I would maybe, like, rethink the whole situation. I'd be like, maybe we can give this one a little more time in the convent. You know, like, that was a little bit unexpected. So, like, there's nothing that can move this mother to, like, change this crazy tradition? Or is this the only way people have money, is what I assumed. Like, their very livelihood depends on them marrying away. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, mm-hmm. then they've got zip.
Well, and that's brought off, too, because yeah. Eloise asked Marianne, like, well, isn't this going to happen to you? And Marianne says, no, I'm going to inherit my father's business, because her father was a painter and porter as well.
Right.
And she gets to inherit the business, and that keeps her from having to be married off.
Lucky Marianne.
Mm.
And she gets to have all the ladies. I'm just kidding. But I was like, all right, okay. So do you have any, like...
And you would think that going into a convent would be protection, too.
You would... Yeah, the convent thing... seriously, people, please help me. What was that about? And actually, I will give this a positive swing. It's funny, because you're right. The light they paint around... Paint. I use the right word. Around the convent concept is how positive it was for her.
Mm-hmm.
Which... I feel like in a lot of other stories, that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, it was like a freedom to be there.
Mm-hmm.
There was like no roles being put upon her. She could just exist around these people and wasn't so bad.
She had access to a full library.
Full.
Full.
Dude, go back to the convent.
And she got to hear music. It was only organ music. You know, that was an interesting thing too. Marianne asked her if she had ever heard an orchestra.
Yeah, and she didn't.
No. Oh, and she says, oh, well, there's lots of music in Milan. And she's like, what you're actually saying is there will be moments that will console me.
Wow.
Oh.
She is like.
I know.
Yeah. What a great character.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what else to talk about here. Do you have other scenes that are kind of your, like, most memorable scenes?
Well, there are also the scenes where... Mary has visions of Eloise, and she's in the white dress and she's in the
yes.
dark.
Yes. What was that about? I totally forgot about
Very
that.
Very haunting.
Yeah.
And it's a recurring theme.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the meaning of that is?
And I also wonder if it's her in a wedding dress.
I'm going back in, people.
Big white dress. And I just wonder if it's like the sense of impending...
Yeah.
Like separation.
Right.
Knowing that they can't be together. I'm not sure.
Wow.
But it's a haunting. That was something that I thought about a lot. You know, it's interesting watching a movie like that and being so taken with the different images. I mean, I thought about how each scene was like a painting, like just gorgeous. And then I thought about the opening scene where she's in the boat. And how unexpected that was to see her shoe on the rim of the boat. And then she jumps over into the water to get her canvases.
Such a badass move. Really. I was like, fucking A, you get that shit. Fuck those guys. Yeah, that's okay. Where do I go? Up the cliff and through the trees? Great. Thanks for your help, fucker. See ya.
Yeah.
She's like lugging this crazy shit.
Sorry, that was soaking wet, so cold.
Doesn't bitch one time.
No.
Not a peep out of her.
Nope.
She doesn't have an attitude.
No.
No. Shows no up. Attitude. She's like, right this way. Nothing. She's like very chill.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Sorry. But you were saying.
Yeah. And then also the images of Eloise in the white dress in the black archway.
Haunting her.
Yeah.
Dude. Wow. Yeah, it's like really.
And that, like, the use of light, like, there was also, because she arrived, Marianne arrived on the beach as the sun was setting, and you see the pink glint of the sun rays on the rocks on the beach. Like, that's not a time of day that I see very often in film.
Yeah. No, it's really, it is beautiful.
They captured
it.
They captured that rose glow that I love so much that time of day.
I can't wait to rewatch it now.
I'm so glad you're excited.
I'm gonna fast forward through the abortion stuff because that was just weird.
It was uncomfortable.
It's a little uncomfortable. Yeah, it's beautiful though, and I do think it will. What's gonna affect me if I'm gonna talk about the film effect is that concept of how we are seen and our legacy, and the way that that translates, like. I haven't been to a lot of museums, but I've spent time looking at old paintings, people in those kind of setups, portraits of people. You've probably seen them before, right? And you look at these strangers that you've never seen before, and you look at this strange painting, and you kind of go, wow, she looks really unhappy. wonder what that person's life was like. And I love that in this movie, you get kind of the idea that these people are so not the way they've been portrayed through that medium. Like now I'm going to go look at a museum and I'm going to look at paintings like that. And I'm going to be like, yeah, but who is that really?
Yes.
Like what's the real person in there? Because it's just very formulaic in terms of that was the way people were painted. Mm-hmm. And obviously they didn't smile because you can't smile for 5 hours straight. I think it was easier. Just like in old photographs, nobody smiled. Like you looked and that was what people did. So that makes sense. But I do think that makes me think a lot about what I'm a curious soul. I've always been curious about people from a young, you talked about on your podcast in fourth grade, how you were so curious and so interested in, what was it exactly? Did you say how would you word that?
I just knew that I wanted to become self-actualized.
And I've always wanted to know about people. Like I want the story.
Yes.
That's all I cared about as a little kid. I was like, if grandma sat down with me with a cup of tea, I'd be like, what was it like when you were five? Like, I just want to know what is behind this face that I see now. Cause I always knew even from a young age, I'm like, well, grandma wasn't always grandma, you know, grandma was like me, like a 5-year-old, and she was a 6-year-old, and then she was a 10th grader, and you know, so I always was so interested in that, and I've always been interested in people that way. Like, I just want to know what their story was, and I don't know, something about that has got me into photography, but paintings are going to always, I'm going to look at them differently from this movie, I think.
I'm so glad you brought that out because now I'm thinking of portraits differently too. Because I had taken them as face value.
Right.
And when I look at a painting, I'm more interested in the artist and what the artist went through and what they were thinking and feeling, what they were experiencing in their life when they felt it. So you just added a new dimension for me in experiencing art. So that's really cool.
It is. And it's also a little bit sad because you're kind of like, well, if that person... I don't know. I'm affected, guys.
Did that person get auctioned off to some strange person?
Yeah. Or like, what's their love story that they didn't get? Or what path did they, what did they sacrifice maybe for that status, for that picture to be painted of you? Because it was only going to happen if you were rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. I've never had my picture painted. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
A little crazy. I don't have a painting of me out there.
There's got to be a local artist.
I don't think many people do nowadays.
Have portraits painted?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rare thing, I think, to happen.
Hmm. I met an artist this summer, and he really is talented, and I asked him to be on the podcast, and he said no.
Come on.
I know.
Share the love, buddy. Right?
Yeah, and that was a really neat thing too, because he's someone I hung out with socially, and then I found out that he was an artist, and then all of a sudden my perception of him just
shifted,
completely shifted, and I actually sought him out I wanted to know about art and how it developed for him and how his process and like who his influences were and what he loved about painting and how it came alive for him. And
well, listen, this movie definitely had an effect on me. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you for watching it finally.
It was meant to be. It wasn't going to escape. I know that. There's another movie that's out right now that is not the story. I think the reason I was resistant is there's a lot of like period piece stories, especially currently. There's more and more. And I'm not knocking this because yay for gay, but there is like a lot more stories around, you know, more commonplace stories about, not place, but it's more like, it's more prevalent. And it's not even like, it was back, you know, think about like Brokeback Mountain, right? Like when that movie came out, do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh my God, Brokeback Mountain. It's about two gay guys. Like,
but they weren't.
It's the whole thing, right? So nobody just cares anymore. It's just right. Love. It's just a romance story. It's yeah. Like been, it's been, that whole thing has been like completely busted open to the point where people are like, yeah, who cares, right? Of course. Doesn't matter.
Love is love.
Love is love. But I will say, I feel like I've seen this story before. So I was kind of like already judging it before I saw it. I was like, is that going to be one of those like, oh, yeah, women can't be together, but then they're together. And it's like the period piece thing. There's another movie out that just came out. And I think it's called, I'll just throw it up for people. I'm going to watch it. I almost went to go see it in the theater, but I did not. It didn't work out. But it's got Kate Winslet. It's called like Ammonite or something. Yeah, it's interestingly, it feels familiar just because of the setup. I'm going to tell everyone to check this out. So this movie is called Ammonite, and it's a period piece, and it stars Kate Winslet and I'm going to say your name right. Saoirse Ronan.
Oh,
how do you say this girl's name? The Irish
Saoirse,
girl,
I think
Saoirse or Saoirse.
Saoirse.
Saoirse Ronan, and it's one of those like a woman who's like a working alone on this like whatever, you know, same kind of setup. She's working on fossils, and then a young woman is basically left in her care. Such a strange story. A chance job offer changes her life when a visitor hires her to care for his wife. So she just gets like dropped off to her, and she's kind of like an older loner type of woman doing this work that she does. And then,
ta-da!
And then they have this romance. So it's kind of a
dropped in your lap.
Yeah. Like, are you bored with the fossils? Here, let me drop my hot wife off to you. See what happens. Okay. So no, I'm really, I shouldn't say that, 'cause I've not seen this movie. I'm sure it's like pretty good because dude, these two actresses, I'm sorry. They can do no wrong to me. Kate Winslet kills everything she does. And this other person, what's her name? Saoirse. You're awesome too.
I've heard her in interviews and I was like, oh, that's how you say the name.
No, anyway. So I guess what I'm saying, I'm not trying to knock this movie. It looks like it's another beautifully shot piece of filmmaking. You might enjoy it. It's supposed to be very visual. And but that story, I feel like, that kind of, even if it's not about two women, that kind of, you know, story of two people that can't really be together, that meet in a strange circumstance and see each other completely. But then, you know, then that's it. It is such a story. I mean, it's a story. But do you feel like you've been completely seen in the world? I'll ask you that before I go.
Yeah, I do. Yeah? I mean, that's, I think that's part of why I had so much resistance to doing sound publicly.
Oh,
because that is
really,
yeah, because that is me being seen fully.
It's like you're naked out there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's cool though. Has it changed you to do it more?
Yeah, I think I've come more. I've gotten over most of my resistance to doing it. There's still some resistance in there.
Just a little, right?
Still a little hang-ups in there.
Yeah. I feel like dancing's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you really dance.
I love to really dance.
You can't. I'm sorry. If you're doing it right,
mm-hmm.
you're just naked out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's dancing.
I've danced like that before.
I love that shit. I get apprehensive too. Like I actually have memories of like, in high school, I'll just like, oh man, I'm going to share it. So like I would be in my room and I'd be like playing, like blasting some music that I love. And I just like dance my ass off, like, you know, in my underwear. dancing around your
bedroom.
Do you
think that's why TikTok is such a huge thing? It's like everybody's in their underwear dancing their little hearts off.
I mean, I think that this could be a whole other topic and a whole other podcast, but like for this generation, this TikTok, you know, social media generation, they are so used to being seen in a way that is not exactly what I'm talking about, but it's so different. And I wonder how that's affected their perception of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I think,
you know,
imagine.
'Cause they put on so easily. It's like almost like if you were a TV actor for 20 years and you just can't help it that when the camera gets put on you, you go into some kind of like unconscious mode of yourself. And I think that is actually what's happening to them. And they don't realize it because they don't know that they're doing it, but they're pretty programmed. Mm-hmm. Sorry guys, you are. I watch you do it all the time. How many times have you walked past a group of girls or kids and they take their phones out? The second the phone goes up to do the selfie, they instantly jump into some kind of like position or face, or they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Like it's just automatic. And they don't even realize, I don't think, that that's their first reaction to a camera. It's crazy.
It is.
I'm going to do, guys, I think I'm going to work on a really new project. Getting it right now in my head about photographing people as they are. I'm so over this glamorous shit. I'm so over people. I think it's over people. Let's just let people see us as we are. Right. I want a real painting done. I'll leave you guys with that. Do you have any last things to share? Cause I'm just,
no,
this is a rambling podcast today. All right. Well, listen, everybody, this movie has provoked a lot of conversation out of me. Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome. Thanks for finally watching it.
And come back anytime.
Oh, yay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like anybody. Come back, you know, if you have a movie. I always say this. If you're listening, if you're following, please email me. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you hate. If you have a movie that has blown you away. If there was a movie you watched alone in your living room where you were sitting there and you were like, what in the fuck was that? And then you looked at your dog and your dog just looked at you like, I don't know what you're saying because you're a human being and I only speak dog. So that's the time to come on my show.
Yes.
I'm here for you when you say, what the fuck was that? I'm here. Let's talk about it. All right, guys. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. Have a great week. And we'll see you next time here on The Film Effect. Bye. You can say bye, Julie.
I can.
Bye.
Like, she's doing a really nice job wrapping up here.
You're like, I'm not interrupting that shit.
Nope.
And I'll also mention Julie is a sound healer. Also, do you want to plug yourself real quick before we go?
Sure. You can, let's see. I am terrible on social media, and I'll just be totally honest about that. So you can find me through giftedalchemy.com. That's spelled A-L-C-H-E-M-Y. And also, you can listen to my sound at Urban Float. I highly recommend Sanctuary. That is a very beautiful track. And if you want to buy a track, you can go to dreampod.com and look under Sound Elixirs. And there are 5 on sale now, and there will be 5 more on sale very soon.
Your voice sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good way to speak. And also check out all the shows on the Social Podcast Network. Shout out to Tom, our supreme leader of the podcast network. And you can go to socialpodcastnetwork.com to find all of those shows. Shows like Julie's show, The Gifted. Also Be Soulfish. Also Full Send with Tom and Tiff. Also In Too Deep. Also Catch My Riff. Also who the fuck knows, but probably many more will come. And I don't know, but just go check it out. And please support the shows. Subscribe, download, like, and that's all. Peace out.